is the sound of Paranoia, a burning telecommunications tower. At various different locations around the world, there have been arson attacks against 5G towers because people think they might be linked to coronavirus. This week on Download This Show, exactly why do people think that? And how do conspiracy theories like it travel across the internet? Plus, Lord knows we do not need any more streaming services, but there's a new one that went global this week that is surprisingly good and weirdly different. Specifically designed for mobiles, we will put Quibi under the microscope. And just how secure is everyone's new favourite video chatting service, Zoom? They've been forced to respond to a range of criticisms, but have they solved all of the problems? This is your guide to the week in media, technology and culture. My name is Mark Fennell, and welcome to Download This Show. Yes, indeed, it is a brand new episode of Download This Show under the deeply strange kind of garbage circumstances we find ourselves in. And joining me from remote, from, is it your living room, Ray Johnston, that you're in right now?
I'm in my makeshift home studio that I have created out of my teenage son's bedroom. He has to exit the room, fold up his bed, put away all the mess, and I take over.
If you want to imagine what that looks like, you can head along to the Download This Show page and you can see the video of it, which I'll also be posting on socials. Ray Johnston is the science and technology editor extraordinaire at the National Indigenous Television Network, alongside her, actually not even close to her, in a separate house entirely from Good Game Spawn Point, is Angharad Yo. Where are you joining us from?
I am also in my makeshift home studio, which is my teenage son slash dog's bedroom. So I've got quite a similar situation to Ray going on here, except it's much easier to get a dog to leave a room than a human.
I have a number of questions about your teenage son slash dog. I need to believe that this is some hybrid that you've built in a lab.
He is my son, so I think it counts. He's my special baby boy.
We have a new streaming platform that's launched. We've talked about it before on the show, but it's now actually available. It's available for people all around the world. It does have the dumbest name, I want it to be noted, of all of the different streaming services. But Ray Johnston, introduce me to Quibi.
I love Quibi. A mobile phone app, and I think that's the most important point about this. You can't watch any of the programs that are streamed on this service anywhere else. There's no website. You can't use Chromecast. There's no AirPlay. There's no TV apps. You have to watch it on your phone. But what you get with these shows is little maximum 10-minute episodes. And honestly, the content is really, really cool. I think the whole thing is just designed for personal viewing. You know, when you're on a commute or, you know, in the bathroom, I can imagine, and you can watch it. Hey, it's true.
Don't imagine and being like a producer on a pooping show.
Let's be real, it's where people are going to be watching these things. And one of the coolest features about this actually is that you can watch the shows in landscape or portrait and they look slightly different depending on which one you choose, which is cool. There's a 90-day free trial, which I signed up for instantly, having taken a look at it. But it's $12.99 a month after that, which I think might be a little bit steep at this point in time.
What did you think of the content, Angharad?
I didn't love it. I think that there's some really, really cool ideas there, but it's just not stuff I personally want to watch. I started playing a video and then I'm like, I don't want to sit here in my home watching my phone for 10 minutes.
Mark, let me tell you some of the shows that are on this, right? Punked is back. Ridiculous. Brainless, perfect viewing, but it's got Chance the Rapper. There's a documentary about LeBron James building a school for underprivileged kids, which is like delivered in little 8-minute episodes. Chrissy Teigen is the new Judge Judy. How can we go past this? However, my all-time favorite new show, there's no competition for this whatsoever. Murder House Flip. It's like true crime meets house flipping. It's everything I've ever wanted, and every episode only goes for 6 minutes.
I don't have 6 minutes to sit on the couch and like watch something on my phone. I don't even want to watch a 30-second Twitter video, even if someone sends it to me and they're like, this is really funny. I'm like, I'm not going to turn the sound on for this.
I spent a reasonable amount of time making fun of this in the past, and yet last night I logged on and I checked out a bunch of shows. I did watch Chrissy's Court, which is
exactly as Ray described it. It is basically Judge Judy with Chrissy Teigen, wife of John Legend, actress, model in her own right. And the great thing about Chrissy Teigen is basically they own the fact that she has no qualifications whatsoever, yet her judgments are still legally binding, which I find brilliant. And it's very funny. It's very silly. But I'll tell you what I was surprised about was the content is really diverse and they've got a really interesting mix of shows. And so I watched this documentary series called Run This City, which is about one of America's youngest ever mayors who was embroiled in a scandal. And it's beautifully shot. It's really well cut. It absolutely works in 6-minute episodes. There's some fantastic music content on there. And one of the things that surprised me is it's actually one of the first times I've seen vertical video used incredibly creatively. There's a brilliant food show on there that I started watching called The Shape of Pasta, which is literally this one Italian-American chef who goes around to different towns in Italy and speaks to female chefs who are still persisting with really interesting forms of pasta in the traditional Italian way that have never been, like, that hasn't necessarily made it out of those towns. And it's absolutely beautiful. And it's a few really good examples in there of form actually matching content.
I actually really love the content that's on this. Like, I thought that it might be a bit of a Hey You, which I also like for totally different reasons.
What is Hey You?
But it's kind of just reality television. It's total trash. This is like elevated Hey You. It's like classy trash. And I really like it. I agree. It's shot beautifully. And I think it cost them quite a lot of money to produce a lot of this content.
I definitely think the production value is amazing. They've poured so much money into this, and the whole vertical to horizontal aspect of it is done really well and is really cool. Although some of the newsy stuff that I watched on it, they kind of awkwardly crop some shots, but the things that are a bit more dedicated and produced look really, really good in that flip. But the format of sitting on your phone and watching it, it's just not for me.
I will confess that I watched on my, full story is my son jumped on my neck early in the week on a trampoline. And so my neck has been sore for the last couple of days. I only say that because I did end up literally lying down on the floor last night, holding the phone above my head to watch it. And I agree, Angharad, I agree that there is something about it where it just pushes to the very edge, I think, for how long I would want to hold a phone. The technical aspect of it's really interesting, though, because I actually think what they're doing is they've pretty much cut two separate versions, a landscape and a portrait version, and they're firing them off at the same time because you basically flip your phone and it instantly jumps between the different formats. And, of course, the way images look within the shots are completely different, so they've been reframed. Because initially I just thought they were very creative with how they framed things, putting things in the centre of the shot, but they're not. They're actually doing full reframes. And it wasn't until I watched some of the news programming that became really obvious. So they've got a partnership with the BBC where they do a dedicated sort of BBC bulletin, and it's a little bit zhuzhier than your average BBC World Service World News bulletin. They use graphics and stills in really interesting ways. And I was flipping it around. They've done full redesigns of the graphics to fit. And I guess one of the things I was curious about was, what are the different kinds of content that will and won't work on this? Because one thing I haven't gone into, Angharad, is the drama offering. And it seems to be based on reviews. The drama stuff is the stuff where people are like, yeah, not so much. Not really buying this.
I feel like it needs a little bit of time to grow, right? It is still really new. And you're right, I do believe that they're cutting two different versions of it, which I think is really smart. I watched a little bit of the one where they blast food at two people and they have to taste it off like their bodies and the wall and then figure out what it is and recreate it. And
it's
that
just
one,
beautiful.
That one they would have in the horizontal mode. It would just be like one shot, and then you turn it to vertical and it would sometimes have a split screen shot of the hosts and then the contestants. So they are definitely rearranging a lot of it and the graphics and things like that in a really clever way. I think it'll take some time for producers and directors to wrap their head around using this format in a cool way and maybe doing like a murder mystery where you see clues in one orientation that you don't see in the other. And that could be really fun and introduce some rewatchability, but it's still in its infancy and I think they have to build it first, and content is king. So just make sure that they're making shows that are interesting to people first before they start doing that kind of tricky stuff.
I mean, that's a really interesting point. And I think one of the things, I think probably if I was to sum up what surprised me most is the fact that it didn't feel super gimmicky, and it felt like they actually leant into it and made that work.
Look, I do think all the really fun, original, you know, comedic angled stuff is absolutely going to work. You know, it's little bite-sized stuff that you can go out, have a cuppa, sit in the sun, have a break from everything that's going on, and then go back inside and back to work and have the kids climbing back all over you again. I'm not actually a big fan of the newsy stuff in this format. I think particularly at this point in time, I kind of want to have a break from news. If I'm picking up an app to watch some entertainment, it's because I'm shutting all that out for a few minutes. Mm. And if that's the only time that I have that reprieve, I don't really want to see updates from the BBC in that feed to remind me of the world that we're living in again.
I mean, I'm the opposite.
Really?
Yeah, because if I'm going to watch a little video on my phone, news is kind of what I want. I either want memes or I want news. I don't know that I want to get embroiled in a whole drama situation where I feel like I'm losing performance on a small screen. And I feel like whenever I use my phone, I'm generally more distracted. I'm thinking about like closing that app and opening up Twitter for a little bit and things like that.
It's interesting the thing you were saying about distraction, because the number one time I use my phone, I'm finding at the moment, is as a second screen when I'm watching something on either a laptop or a television screen. In effect, though, to watch whole shows of this nature on your phone is essentially removing that second screen from you. So in a weird kind of way, I mean, I'm only thinking about this now, but I actually realised I was probably less distracted looking at a Quibi show because it was on my number one tool of distraction. Does that make sense?
Mark, yeah. If you think that I'm not going to prop up my phone and then whip out my laptop, you have another thing coming.
It's a bit of a stretch, but you could also almost put it in a bit of a self-soothing, self-care kind of thing. If they could bring out some meditation-style shows.
They do. They have some meditation shows.
Oh, do they?
They do, yeah, yeah.
I didn't see it. See, that would be perfect because you can only really, theoretically, can only focus on your phone unless you are like Rad and you've got your laptop out at the same time. So I feel like it would be really useful for those situations.
Rad, do you think this was the right time to launch it?
Look, it wasn't in the plan for them. You know, the way that they've been pushing Quibi for a long time really has been about being on the go. And obviously now we are, as a society, much less on the go. But I think people are consuming a lot more content, like you said earlier. So having something new to look at, especially with a 90-day free trial, which is pretty generous.
I was going to say, 90 is a bit bigger than the average 30-day free trial, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also because it's really expensive, in my opinion, for a mobile thing.
See, that's an interesting thing there because, like, they've launched with a whole bunch of shows. Like, they've launched with more shows than Apple TV launched, right? And this is the thing. Just because the screen is small doesn't necessarily mean the production was any cheaper. And that's something I'm still trying to wrap my head around because there's, like, a perception gap there. You sign up for a Netflix or a Stan or whatever, what are those? There's a certain perception value because it's on a big screen. And I feel like really in terms of what they're offering, it's not that different to what those streaming services are offering.
I would say that the production value is the same, but you do lose more watching on a small screen. It's just the nature of it. It's the same reason why a cinema experience tends to be more exciting than watching it at home. And obviously people are really moving away from that as we get bigger TVs and going to the cinema just doesn't sound like an as exciting a thing. But condensing everything down onto a really small screen and sometimes a vertical screen, you're gonna lose some things. If I think about watching something like Chef's Table on a small screen, I lose half of the beauty of those shots. Even just recording test shots for this, I'm recording it on my phone, I think it looks great, and then I put it onto a big screen and I'm like, there's so much wrong with this.
Okay, but watch this show Shape of Pasta, right? Because it's very conversant with a show like Chef's Table. It's like beautiful food porn. And I guess the trade-off I've noticed is that what they will do is, whereas a show like Chef's Table will often use a lot of the negative space, the white of a table, the white of a plate, to frame food, they sort of do a bit of a trade-off where I think they're recognising that you're closer to the screen, so the way they'll frame up food is to shift you in closer to the action so you are still picking up those details. And I would be fascinated to know whether you think the experience of a show like this pasta show is at least conversant with what a Chef's Table would offer you in terms of how they've framed it.
I think it would feel like Nigella Lawson's show and be a bit claustrophobic.
Except Nigella Lawson shows really like shaky camera and fluid. This is like lots of like, I think they realize that because you're on an unstable surface, i.e. your hand, they've gone for a lot more locked off, static, sort of beautifully framed shots to kind of make it work. There's lots of really interesting subtle things that I'm fascinated by about it.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me. And I love talking about this because it is all those really little things in the difference of how we're watching that are going to influence the production in a way that we haven't really seen before. And that's just cool. From that perspective, I think it's really great.
For me, the value proposition and you know, why I'm going to try to watch as much of this content within my free 90-day trial as I possibly can and then probably
and
cancel,
then cancel
it. And then cancel is because you can only really watch this on your own. This isn't something that I can share with my husband or my son. I can't, you know, share my password and have my mom and dad be able to watch on my account as well. Like, this is just for me and for entertainment for just for me. Paying $12.99 a month just isn't worth it, really, if I can't share that with anyone.
You know what they need to bring in? Like a watch party function. You know how like Netflix rolled out this thing where you can like you can simultaneously watch it with a group of people? They need and they look, to be fair, they may already have this. I just haven't looked into it. But I reckon something like that wouldn't be the same, granted, but I think it might help replicate some of that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if it had a function like that, if I could say to all my friends that are also on the free 90-day trial, hey, jump on, watch this stupid show where they flip houses where murders happened, I'm in. If I can make that a more social experience, then it's worth it for me.
Download This Show is what you are listening to. It is your guide to the week in media, technology and culture. Mark Fennell is my name. I'm joined by our guest this week. Ang Harad Yeo is from Good Game Spawn Point on ABC Me. And Ray Johnson is science and technology editor with NITV, the National Indigenous Television Network. And there's been a really interesting spate of arson attacks in the UK, Ray, where people have set fire to 5G towers. 5G is a new form of television. Actually, I'll tell you what. Why don't you explain to me what 5G is and why are people setting fire to them and how does it relate to COVID-19? There's a very strange conspiracy story here at play, Ray.
Do you remember last time you asked me to explain 5G and my mind went completely blank?
Oh, God, there was like
everyone else's mind went completely blank and we've all just sat there and gone, how do you explain what 5G is succinctly?
Just
I've just had that moment again.
It's faster than 4G, which is the thing that your mobile phone uses. There we go.
It uses a higher frequency.
There you go.
To transfer more data faster.
And is it also responsible for coronavirus, right? Which is why people set fire to these towers.
Look, people think that 5G is somehow linked to coronavirus. Now, there's a couple of theories that are going around that validates this for people, and they're saying that 5G might suppress the immune system, that the virus can communicate through the radio waves, that it's operating on the same frequency that causes oxygen molecules to oscillate, and our body can't use the oxygen, so it's leaving us short of breath. And look, there is no evidence for any of this anywhere ever. It just doesn't make any logical sense. This is not science in any way, shape, or form. But look, people are scared right now and they want something to blame for everything that's happening. And you know, having theories like this that you can share with people and feel like you're helping, it helps you feel in control of the situation. And information is passed around so quickly now on the internet and, you know, with everyone at home and searching for everything. And it's being shared by people that we love and trust. And often these statements about 5G and what it's doing to people, which it's not, being very clear here, are attributed to a doctor somewhere.
Just to be clear, just because I love certain distant family members does not mean that I trust them. Those are two separate things. Especially the stuff they post on Facebook.
So people are really clever about how they go about creating these conspiracy theories as well. They use half-truths of science and then manipulate them slightly or just leave a gap in logic and then make a jump to a conclusion, which is 5G causes coronavirus. It's weird because a lot of them aren't even that 5G has a correlation to coronavirus. It's literally the erection and use of 5G towers uses the frequencies to make coronavirus. One of them, that one that you said about oscillating the oxygen molecules, that one is basically 5G is coronavirus. It's really wild. So that's using, you know, the fact that the body creates a fever in order to fight viruses. It basically denatures proteins and breaks them down, stops them from replicating. It uses that half-truth and then moves it into something else to try and make you believe it. It's really, really interesting and clever, but it's really upsetting and sad as well, because there are people that believe this because they may not have the up-to-date and really clear scientific knowledge that they need to be able to debunk these things in their mind. And they're told it with such authority that it's hard not to latch onto it a little bit.
I remember a couple of years ago, I interviewed a former MI6 spy in the UK, and one of the things he told me has always stuck with me, which is, if you're going to lie, make it as close to the truth as you possibly can. And it has stuck with me ever since then, because every time one of these, particularly in the last few years, as we've seen so many conspiracy theories bubble up on the internet, there's usually built into it some pseudoscience that you can point to, that you can Google, that if you did a 30-second Google would seem to support it for a second before, of course, you do proper interrogation of it and it falls over. And I should just say that the ABC and the ABC News Department are running a constant, ongoing conspiracy theory fact check on the news website if you want to check out. And just in case you tuned in halfway through and you're confused, 5G, coronavirus, definitely not linked.
It's amazing how much people believe these things, though. They really feel convicted about it to the point where they will damage like company property in order to stop the virus. And it's almost scary that people aren't checking these things themselves. And there's so much mistrust in a lot of outlets that would be doing fact checking. And there's a lot of mistrust in authority now, that people feel smarter when they believe a conspiracy theory, because they think that they see something that other people don't, or they see something that's trying to be hidden from them. And I think that that kind of fuels the fire of it as well.
And then one of the hardest things about this particular moment is that we're being asked all around the world to stay home and do something that is inherently passive. And I think there's a lot of people that want to do something active, and this might be the least helpful or among the least helpful ways of doing that. Download This Show is what you're listening to. It is your guide to the week in media, technology and culture. I'm joined by Angharad Yeo from Good Game Spawn Point and Ray Johnson from NITV. We're all separated in different, very socially different locations. And just lastly on the show, we have also been talking a lot about Zoom over the last couple of weeks, as I know a lot of you have been using Zoom. An interesting point, there has been some criticism of Zoom's security settings, Angharad. What is it that the issues have been, just to catch people up?
Oh, there's quite a few of them. So one of the big ones that I think kind of broke first was that Zoom was sending user data to Facebook, even if you hadn't attached your Zoom to your Facebook, which people were very concerned about. There's been Zoom bombings, which essentially means that you can Google like zoom.us, you can Google the first part of the Zoom URL, and it'll come up with like meeting links, just random ones that you can just click into and join in.
This is how people are Zoom bombing,
They've said that the encryption is really weak is another criticism, and the old terms and conditions allowed Zoom to collect all your user information, including all the content that was in your meeting.
There's two other really big ones, which is Zoom was allowing kind of corporations to record all the messages, save it in a cloud, in a way that would essentially allow the company to go back and download all of the correspondence at any time. Like it had a really long archive, and then look through it, which feels really, really scary. And they also have been monitoring when you click away from Zoom for more than 30 seconds and then sending that information to your boss to basically say you weren't paying attention during the Zoom meeting.
And well, they do go for a very long time. So, of course, this week Zoom has actually had to come out and address some of these issues, Ray. What have they actually addressed?
They basically said that they've fixed the thing with Facebook. You know, they've fixed the thing with the old terms and conditions. Basically, the attitude from Zoom is like, look, we never expected this many people to be using our service at once and for it to be coming under this much scrutiny. And we are backtracking big time and doing some hardcore retrofitting of all of these features that you're all demanding now that we never thought was going to be necessary in any way, shape or form.
Which I guess is kind of fair.
Look, it is kind of fair, but at the same point, like, you know, it's best practices if you've got an app like this for it to be safe and secure and proper in the first place. But I think we can all imagine thousands of, you know, tech bro startups that are just like, eh, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Well, this is the bridge. Zoom got to the bridge and they've had to fix everything all at once while the world watches and criticizes.
It also feels like they've been putting out spot fires. They've kind of been waiting for someone to point out something wrong with their software, and then they go, oh yeah, I'll get right on that straight away, which in some ways isn't really good enough, especially because it was a program that was developed for corporations to have what I assume is important business meetings. So in some ways you would generally expect that kind of thing to have a bit of better security, and it doesn't feel like they actually care. They are mining data and sending it places. They're doing that because it's good for them. Yeah. And they're being a cop. They're telling your boss when you're not looking at the screen for a little while. So I don't think that it's something that was necessarily in their ethos when they were making it. But now that they've come under scrutiny, they're like, oh, we should fix this.
And instead, now they've just got all this data of me drinking wine, watching Star Trek The Undiscovered Country with friends on a Thursday night, which is 100% what I'm doing tonight. It's a great movie. And the wine was really good. And God, I don't know why I'm sharing this, Ray.
Look, this is our socializing, let's be real. Mm. So, you know, everyone that watches or listens to this show gets to see us socializing. This is it.
This is the longest conversation I've had with anyone who isn't my partner in weeks.
That's yep. how I feel, Fair. Except if you replace partner Fair. With my children, it's pretty much the same. Oh, God. Well, can I just say it's been lovely talking to you guys. Good news is because we don't have the video on, you can't see that I've been smashing wine throughout the entire duration of this one. You think it's a coffee cup, but let me tell you, it ain't. Ray Johnson from NITV, thank you so much for joining us again on Download This Show.
Thanks for having me.
And Angharad Yo, as always, from Good Game Spawn Point, it's so awesome to have you on the show.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you leave us a review on whichever podcasting app you happen to be listening to us on. And also, still very keen to hear your ideas about how you are coping with the current reality. What is the technology that you find yourself using more that you didn't expect? What's the next Zoom we should be talking about? Yeah, you can let me know on any of my social media platforms. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. Not on TikTok. Cannot get on board. Too old. Too sad.
Do it.
Really?
Do it.
Really?
I would love to see your TikTok. I think that would be weird.
Don't do it, Mark.
All right, tune in next week to see if I signed up to TikTok.
You don't need to be there.
All right, well, we'll catch you next week. Thank you for listening to another episode of Download This Show.